Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively still in Carroll County. Beautiful Hampstead, the crab cakes. I'm about 1.5 crab cakes down. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're giving these away. We just had a $50 winner. We put it up on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook. You can check it out. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. It is Halloween week. I'm doing a lot of shopping there, as well as a lot of giving. They're in the jobs market, help people get jobs and helping them get job training. Our friends at Goodwill, Lisa Rusiniak, we met through Halloween, and me emceeing the Halloween event with the Ravens for many, many years. I was down in Anne Arundel County, which is now a casino and sports wager. We're up here at the Greenmount Station, courtesy of our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION, doing the grand opening of the Bet Parks sports wager. I'm calling it an emporium. Is that fair?
I don't know.
Hey, no? Well, you can call it whatever you want.
I'm calling it, I got crab and beer on my breath. Chris Richards is here. He is a long-time, not first-time, proponent of this particular program. I've been coming here for at least 15 years doing radio shows with Ravens players. We've swapped for the Bone Marrow Registry. We've done charity events here. Carl Delmont was always very supportive of the things we did up here in Hampstead. But every time I come up here, I park the car. And I'm usually, like, lugging equipment in. The old days, my wife and I'd be here, and we'd have this and that, and celebrities, and lines, and autographs, and footballs, and all that. And every time we come up here, I see the bowling alley, and my wife's like, feel like bowling a few frames, and I'm like, don't have time, got to get back to the city, because I lived all the way downtown. Sometimes we're up here on winter nights on Monday after I've flown back from Bemidji. But I'm going to come into your bowling alley, and if I would have known this guy, this isn't just a bowling alley. This is a Dundalk guy's bowling alley.
That's why it's
I
there.
Asked you if you
that's
had duck there. Pins, and you looked at me like, that's like saying, does Chris have beer or crab cakes here,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You know, you got your crab cake there. You got duck pin bowling next door. You know,
everything I need from
boat.
Dundalk, I could move out here. You know, JR, Jim Richardson, who I invited by today, he lived in Manchester many years. He's really the reason I have WNSD. He's been my engineer since literally the very beginning, 1998. Sure. And, you know, he might stop up here. He would call this God's country, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he would always say, we got room for you up in Carroll County. Yeah, come on up yeah. here. Now, he moved over to Westminster. I know you guys probably consider that Frederick County up
yeah,
here, right?
Okay.
But you're both. Bowling alley, you have told me two or three times, you're like, I just wanted to save it.
That's what we did, yeah. So, I mean,
how do you guys know each other? Why do I know you?
I tell you what, I just walked in here. It was actually before, we just celebrated our five-year anniversary as owners, me and my wife, as the owners of the bowling alley.
So when I was coming up here years ago, you didn't own it?
No. So it was 5 years ago, and I just happened to walk in here looking for Chris. What I do for a living, I'm the executive director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. So we're kind of like the players association for horse racing.
What does that
in Maryland.
Mean?
So it's just that. We're basically the players association. There's three entities. There's Maryland Jockey Club, who owns the racetrack, and there's the Horsemen's Association. We're the recipients of all the VLT money in Maryland for the purses. So we represent the owners, trainers, you know, all the workers in horse racing. And we also put on the races as well with the purses. So we managed.
So were you the connection to the OTB happening here?
Absolutely.
Chris,
yeah.
Give me a little background here because you've been here a long time. By the way, I ate the broiled one. I know. I didn't feed it to the dog. It went in my belly. I kept a little bit of the fried one because I want to end it. With the party, you know what I mean? The crunch,
you're
Mr.
Crazy.
Broiled.
I think you're crazy. I like the broiled better, but hey, you know.
I'm with you, Chris. Two against
me. I haven't met anyone that likes to fry other than me. What do you not like about it? Do you not like crunchy?
Yeah, I like crunchy fine. I just like the broiled better. I mean, it's just.
It's more Maryland.
Look, and not only that, it's like I said, healthier. So
right, I'm going to say something to you. Sure. This guy's from Gray Manor. I would go over to Ross's Crab House, okay, right on the corner there. Yep. I'd go to the house in Neptune. I was over at Scoozy. I had a crab cake at Scoozy. Sure. I'm going to be at Drug City next Friday doing this year's show at the Fountain, right?
No disrespect to those guys, but this guy's got better crab cakes.
I'm going to hold this up because this, to me, the fried part of that reminds me of my mother. Mm-hmm. And the only way we ever... I didn't know what the hell broiled was till I was 25. I never heard of broiled anything as a kid. It was fried. I'm from Dundalk, right?
Yeah.
So my mom would get the little hockey puck and do it all up, put it in there.
Same with my mother. That's what they did in Dundalk.
And they would serve them dark brown, like they look like chocolate
bars.
So
would she deep fry them or would she pan fry them?
Pan fry.
Pan fry.
Pan fry.
See, this is deep fried.
That's how I ate them as a kid.
Better.
That's how I ate them as a kid. That's how you ate them as a kid growing up in Dundalk. You ate fried crab cakes.
Well, look, we're having crab cakes, beer here, and we're doing something that you couldn't do here until literally a couple hours ago. Today's opening day. For those of you listening in, Maryland Crab Cake Tour, the day after the Ravens defeated Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Bucks. But, you know, you would have loved to have gotten this open last year or January. I've talked to John Martin at the Maryland Lottery and gaming and Swark and all of those things. You guys have been on our tongues all the time because John was always indicating, and the reality was, is that the MGMs, the big houses, were going to have a tremendous advantage to getting to being turnkey. You guys are literally, is there anybody else like you, the riverboat folks down in Potomac or wherever that, down in the Potomac River, the Bingo World, I don't know who runs Bingo World, but it might be two guys like you for all I know. I've never met those folks. But doing this as two guys from Carroll County, one of them from Dundalk, absolutely. Yeah, but this was an undertaking that maybe you didn't even understand when you got in.
I'll tell you what, it was a crazy idea. And let me tell you, it's an interesting story. Actually, my counterpart, like I said, I run the Maryland Thoroughbred Horse.
You don't mind if I had a fried
No, please do. Please do. I'd rather be broiled. But my counterpart's in New Jersey. Actually, the New Jersey Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. They actually were the group that brought the court case all the way to the Supreme Court that got sports betting legalized in the whole country. And so it's been on my radar screen about 10 years. It really has been. Because the New Jersey guys, they did it as a way to save Monmouth Park Racetrack. That was the goal.
That is what Bet Parks is.
Not Parks. Forget about Parks there. Forget about Parks. But That's Philadelphia Park. That's the old Philadelphia Park. Monmouth Park is in New Jersey. It's on the shore of New Jersey. So the New Jersey guys, they never could get slot machines at the track in New Jersey to save that racetrack. So what they did, it was a guy by the name of Dennis Drazen, who's big in New Jersey. He actually owns the racetrack. So the horsemen in New Jersey actually own the racetrack.
The Joe DeFrancis of that.
Exactly. Right, okay. They own the racetrack. And their plan for the past 10 years was to get sports betting at Monmouth Park. And they actually took the court case all the way to the Supreme Court and got it opened up to the whole country.
Well, Angelo's bought Rosecroft, trying to maybe, thinking, we were trying to get...
That was slots.
Slots.
That was slots at the time. That was a long time ago, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so the...
Well, this thing's been in the pipeline forever and ever and a day.
Sports betting has.
And finally, 3 hours ago, you got it open
exactly.
Here in October 2022.
But the New Jersey horsemen, they in our horsemen meetings, in our regional horsemen meetings, they've been talking about this for the longest time, so it was always on my radar screen. And
horse racing was tied to slots, which was tied, you know,
exactly.
It was all in the same family,
exactly.
Right?
Kind of was, but in New Jersey, it's a different story because they can't get slots because of the power of the casinos in New Jersey in Atlantic City. They weren't going to let a little horse track get slots there, so they had to figure out a different way. So they thought sports betting. So it was really on the lips of the New Jersey horsemen for a long time. So it's always been in the back of my head because I would always hear how they were going to get sports betting legal in the country. We thought they were crazy, honestly. But they eventually got it done.
I thought that about cannabis.
Exactly.
Thought that about a whole bunch of things
exactly.
That like used to not be and that are now. And then the question is, all right, if it's going to be here now
sure.
And you're – people have been placing illegal bets in Carroll County and every other county
as long
here.
As long as we've been alive.
I mean, my part of this was being in sports radio back in the 90s.
Sure.
I would always have gamblers calling me about
sure.
Friday picks and picking on Vito Stellino at the paper and
sure.
whatnot.
Yeah.
And the notion that it's always been there, and my dad would bring pool cards home from Bethlehem Steel.
My dad would, too. We had little cards.
Never is an inducement to wager and always
exactly.
The points, all right? So,
but I was 6 years old filling out the – I knew more about football than he did at 6 years old.
How do I know if Rice's 27 uh-huh. points less than Tulsa?
Absolutely,
you know?
But, you know, but that was fun. That's what we did. That's what we did as kids, you know? But I don't even bet on the horses. I'm not a gambler at all, you know. So if I'm
well,
in
as a
business.
Guy who's recently been thrown out of the locker room after not gambling the last 30 years, maybe I should have just been taking action.
Maybe,
on the side. Hey, Flacco,
maybe.
How's your arm today, buddy?
Maybe.
You know, you feel like you're good for six this week, or you know,
maybe.
Should,
maybe.
And now I think the players with fantasy sports,
sure.
You're on my fantasy team, all the illicit ish that happened with fantasy 7-8 years ago. When there was scamming going on, you know, online.
Yeah.
And we talk about mobile coming online. I say this to John all the time. Mobile's a little scarier and more dangerous to me, right, as for nefarious activities, right, let alone, you know, umpires or referees being crooked at move lines and do things like that. But for your part in this, as local entrepreneurs, local business guys, wanting to make sure things are on the up and up. I'm just blown away with the OTB. I was expecting, like, fireworks and all this. It's a couple of key. It's a very, very minimal. You're laughing.
So we are.
Chris is laughing because you lost your office over here. But it is a very minimal thing for all the squeeze and juice you guys put
into getting
it done. The license is so... It's like my tower for the radio station. You know, it's like it's there. You don't realize it. But this is all folks are going to see is a couple of kiosks and the opportunity to wager on darts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We had our first dart bet earlier today. Guy put it in a parlay. But it's about community. Look, nobody's bigger in community than Chris and I. You know, I'm on the town council right up the road. You know, I'm elected to my second term. But, I mean, this all the OTB came about as a way to save the bowling alley. I mean, my goal was, when we were opening, if you remember, we opened the Timonium OTB. I did that in my professional capacity with MTAJ.
Okay.
We opened the...
So I know Tommy. I texted with Tommy two days ago over there in Knicks. And I was at the other Knicks last night with Mark Weller and Cal Ripken. So
We opened the Timonium OTB, and that was right around the time when the person that... It was an old lady, wonderful, wonderful lady, named Kay Rainier, big-time duckpin people. But they were getting older, and they were just—they were getting too old to take care of the bowling alley, I guess.
And so, you are duckpin only house.
It's half and half. It's half duckpins, half ten pins. Well, I mean, my father worked at Bethlehem Steel, worked at Beth Ship, you know. So I grew up with a duckpin ball in my hand before I. Could
I've
walk.
Only bowled ten pins one time in my life.
Yeah. Oh my god!
One time in my life, I went ten pin bowling. Okay, so I'm a duckpin only guy. Yeah. I'm missing a pretty key finger, as people would see. I missed this when I was 3 years
That's
old.
That's fine. You know how many guys are missing fingers over there? But duckpin.
My
bowling.
Parents took me duckpin bowling when I was 6 years old. I got my first ball at East Point Mall at the Back Rack Raisin, and I still have it. It's green and black. It's a little tiny ball for a little tiny boy, right? Yeah. And it was a little smaller than the house balls. And I bowl Highland Towners on Saturday morning at 8:30 with Leo Lambert from 1976, 75, 76. I met my best friend in the world, Doug Bennett, who knew bowling every...
Until I started chasing girls.
That's
what everybody did back then. They really, really did. So I mean, that was in my blood. Duckpin bowling was in my blood. Well, I live right up the road here. My son... he was 9 years old, I guess, at the time. And I coached football. I coached, Little League baseball. My kid never took to it, but he really took to bowling. And he actually turned into a state champion duckpin bowler.
Nice.
And, it was right at that time that the lady owning the bowling alley, she just had some health issues, and she just couldn't do it anymore. So I had to think creatively, okay, how are we
going to... Who's going to save the
Because I tell you what, economically... anyone with half a brain looks at that, and it's a pretty expensive piece of property. It's right on Route 30, and to put a bowling alley on it, you can't spend an astronomical amount for a piece of property.
Nobody would put
a bowling
alley
on
it. It just happens
that.
To be there, right?
So anyone smart would put a car dealership or something like that. So I was racking my brain late at one night, and I said, you know what? We just opened Timonium OTB. I said, why don't I put an OTB with it? OTB will generate some revenue. It'll because you have to have another piece of revenue to make a bowling alley successful, a local bowling alley. So I got
it's
on,
not the delicious pizza and the crinkle cut fries.
You can't make much money
and
on
the fountain
that,
soda?
Surprisingly.
That's fine.
But so what
you know where
did?
They cleaned up on me at East Point Bowling was that damn Galaga machine.
Yeah, you're right. Probably still there. Probably same machine.
And hey, it's your turn to bowl. Oh no! I'm in bonus. Hold on, hyperlink. Yeah, come on now.
So
I did that a lot.
So what I did, I googled it, and there's one bowling alley in the whole
I told you
country.
JR would come from Manchester.
I'm impressed.
Man, this is a big show to get JR here today. You know it's an opening.
No, there was one bowling alley in the whole country that had an OTB in it, and it was in Los Angeles. It was north of Los Angeles, California. So I told my wife, I said, let's go out there and just take a look at
business
it.
Business trip to L.A.?
So
it
was during Breeders' Cup weekend, so me and my wife flew out for the Breeders' Cup.
Santa Anita?
And we just, it was at Santa Anita.
I bet you went and checked out Del Mar just for the weather.
No,
right?
I didn't check out. That's one
All
place
right.
I haven't been.
All right.
But,
should have.
So we walked into this place, sight unseen, didn't know anybody. And it was, I think it was Breeders' Cup Thursday. And the OTB was packed. It wasn't a soul bowling, but the Breeders' or the little OTB that he had was packed. So I said, you know what? We might be onto something. So in my head, I kind of put the deal together. And I was going to make an offer on the bowling alley and put the OTB over there. Once I started doing the math, the only way an OTB worked over there is if I knocked out some duck pin lanes. What? That was, I wasn't doing that. I mean, right. I mean, that's sacrilegious. So I was not.
How many lanes you got over there?
There's 12 and 12. So I'm not, I couldn't knock out any duck pin lanes.
I'm coming bowling next time.
So I was
pretty, I want to do that.
I was pretty depressed about it. And I just so happened to walk. I was over here. I think my wife might have came over here for the for your broiled crab cakes. But
I stole a piece of my fry. Matter of fact, you remind me.
And where we're sitting right now was a bank. It was an empty shell of where a bank used to be. So I literally peeked my head in the window and I said, you know what? That would make a better location for an OTB than it would be over there. So a few days went by. I just figured out.
Now, you were
head.
Just a customer here.
Yeah, and I was a customer.
Okay.
I used to come
you
over
knew
here.
Chris, though, right?
No, no, I didn't know Chris. I didn't know Chris from Adam. Didn't know him from anybody. And I just walked in the door one time and I asked for the owner. And, you know, Chris came out and I'm sure he looked at me like I had three heads. But I kind of proposed this idea, and I said, you know, I'm kind of interested in buying the bowling alley. And I know he, you know, he and the other owner of the bowling alley, they didn't get along too well. And Chris says he didn't have a doesn't have a big parking lot here, and a lot of his customers would go park on the bowling alley a lot, and she would tow the customers away. So they kind of had a, you know, I wouldn't say Chris was too happy with that.
It wasn't a good relationship.
So, I mean, I asked Chris, I said, look, hey, I want to partner with you. You know, I mean, let's become business partners. I said, maybe, you know, I said, well, hey, you know, we just opened the Timonium OTB. I think we were just in the process of opening Boonesboro at the time. And
what
I said,
year is this? 15, 16, like in there?
We just celebrated our fifth year.
Well, it would have been
2016.
17,
2016.
Okay.
Came to me in 2016
something
probably,
like
and I think
that.
You bought the bowling alley.
I remember when you were building this out. I remember this was a construction project over here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I floated the idea to him, and I said, Chris, I said, I don't know if this will ever happen, but, you know, hey, if we put an OTB in here, we're successful. I really think we have a chance of getting. This is before it was even legal in the whole country.
Yeah.
You know, before PAPSPA even passed.
I'm still a little blown away that two dudes here in the middle like
just,
wound up with a sports wager license.
We're just like the same type of guy.
Yeah.
And you know, I said, you know, if we do an OTB, we might. You know, I've been listening to my Jersey guys for the longest time.
Right.
They say it's coming, and they say it's coming to the racetracks. And I said, look, we got some, you know, political connections. I kind of think we might be able to pull this off. And I'm sure
you're
he thought I was
also in an area
crazy.
Where there weren't a ton of other people wanting to do this, right? So, I mean, you're really servicing, as I see people come in here and, you know, make bets for the weekend or whatever. I mean, you're servicing something that people wanted to do.
So, I'm sure he thought I was crazy. But you know, long story short, I bought the bowling alley. Chris and I, that was our first goal. I mean, we didn't even have the bowling alley didn't even have a liquor license. I've never heard of a bowling alley not have a liquor license. So first thing we did was get our liquor license. Then we applied for the OTB license. And Chris and I went before the town council, and a couple little old ladies called us heathens and thought we were going to have prostitutes and drugs. But this turned out to be
not yet.
In 5 years, we haven't had any
though.
Of that.
It's not 5 o'clock.
But
yet,
it's not Biff's.
Yeah, exactly. But it's turned into. I mean, look, it's grown. There's a lot of horse people in this. If you look around,
I was going to say something very off color and very funny because
it's a family
afternoon.
Show. It's a family
I know.
Show.
I was gonna
but
say,
if you look around here,
only
you
prostitute
these,
here's me. You know.
Well,
sorry.
You look at all these silks. There's a lot of horse people up here, and these are all local people that race in the area. You know, Hampstead, Manchester, Westminster, Reicherstown. I mean, these are all local people, and you know, the OTP's been pretty successful. Just you know, as another venue for horse people.
It's super cool. I mean, it really is. It's one
great.
Of a kind.
Yeah,
right?
It really is. And I don't know of a parallel. You know, to this.
I feel that way about Tommy's place over at Nick's, dude. When you're there, you feel like you're at the track. You feel like you're at Vegas. You feel like you can bet the races.
Yeah.
The beer's great. The food's you know everything's comfortable.
So,
you know?
Yeah,
I like that it's smoke free too.
Exactly.
I
so,
do that.
So, I mean,
better
we did that. I bought the bowl. My wife and I bought the bowling alley. And I tell you what, I mean, even through COVID, the bowling alley has just blown up. It's been huge. My background is in advertising and marketing.
Well,
you
were out there doing cornhole in the middle
of the cornhole where, you know, we did cornhole during COVID. We had the parking lot filled with people because the bowling alley is more, it's more of a community center than a bowling alley. And when I told those guys, I said, look, I mean, I've got a job. I do the horse stuff for a living. I said, this is the community's bowling alley. And I really treat it as that. We don't take any money out of the bowling alley. Every dollar that bowling alley makes, we roll back into it on improvements, and we turn the place into a palace. I mean, just a few months ago, we're only the fifth bowling center in the whole country that has a 1,000-square-foot video wall. I mean, it's literally a video.
All right,
it's
I'm
not,
coming over, and
it's
I'm
not,
bowl.
It's not a projection screen. I mean, it's literally a a Las Vegas style.
I'm not touching
style.
The 10 pins.
You're a duck pin guy. Or you're a Dundalk guy. You stick to
so you said Wiseman
pin.
Was over here, right?
Wiseman was over there a couple months ago, beginning of the youth bowling season. We invited him to come up. He met the kids and gave the kids, you know, he was doing signing autographs. And
I'm going to tell my favorite story to tell. I mean, if I ever do a book, JR is going to publish it if I ever do a book, but send it out on a satellite. Wiseman and I grew up together. I've known Danny since 1979. Okay,
great guy.
I was 10 years old when I met Danny. We went to middle school together, high school. He lived in Berkshire.
All right.
So he definitely went to Drug City and got baseball cards and wrestling magazines. He was the weirdo out of everyone, and he would admit to this. All of us were duck pin bowlers. So on Saturday morning, all my dudes, Doug Bennett, Rob DeBilius, the Rommels, all my boys, we would go duck pin bowling on Saturday morning. And then Wiseman would show up Monday and he bowled 10 pins. And we're like, we didn't know anybody. The balls were this big. It's like we didn't. So probably about 9th or 10th grade, he started winning titles. You know, and we're like, oh, he's really good, you know. And we graduated, and he, oh man, before I was through college, 88 or 89, he went on that chair at Woodlawn.
Yeah.
He won the Woodlawn as an amateur. He walked in, walked on, kicked everybody's ass. I think he beat Marshall Holman. People I've been watching on TV my whole life. Mark Roth, I mean, these incredible bowlers. Mm-hmm. Pete Weber, you know, Dick's old man, the whole deal. He went out and wound up with Chris Schenkel on TV and won the whole tournament as like a walk-on. And he's my buddy. And then he went on tour, lived in Lake Havasu, and we've been in friends forever. Mm-hmm. I went into sports radio in 91. This is my 31st anniversary. So he in 91, 92, 93, I mean, it's still on ABC every Saturday afternoon. Yeah. What's the other name? Chris Schenkel and Nelson Burton Jr. Thank you very much. So Danny's on the tour, winning in Peoria, winning the Firestone, winning here and there, and he would come back whenever he came back and do the show.
Sure.
And we would knock it out, and I would always just urinate upon 10-pin bowling. I'm like, when are you ready to duck-pin bowl me, pal? You know,
way.
So we would.
So right, I'm with you.
1996, right before I met JR, 96, 97, we started having, Steve Hennessy was my longtime partner here, he decided we should have a duck-pin bowling event, and we did it in Dundalk at the Duck Pond and at Pinland.
No kidding. Wow.
So Pinland was owned by Steve LaTrenta, who owned Looney's, one of the Looney's entrepreneurs, right?
Just sold it.
Dundalk guy, right. So Steve would give us the bowling alley for charity. We raised money for Ed Block. We'd always do it like in March. Mm-hmm. It was always during like the ACC tournament because it was a little bit of a winter pent up, let's get out and do something, drink some beer. Squires would send pizzas. So Danny would come, and he's the biggest star in the bowling world. So this is 96, 97, 98. I've got Michael Jackson, Derek Alexander, Ravens players, J. Lou during that era. Mm-hmm. They're all out bowling. Dave Johnson, the Oriole, Tippy Martinez. We do a big celebrity thing. So Danny would come out every year, and he couldn't duck pin bowl worth a damn.
That's what he
said. So I would challenge
him. That's what he
said.
That's what
and
he said.
I would shiz talk him, and we were out there bowling, and he'd be like, "You're messing up my form. You're messing up my form."
It's a different game. It's a completely different game.
98, I moved to White Marsh. Mm-hmm. I got the radio station in 98. I got nationally syndicated in 2000, 2001, 2002. So I'd known Danny 20 years at that point. He's a star. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's Hall of Fame eligible, which means he was going to be a bowling Hall of Famer. And every time we come on, he'd say, "I want to take you 10-pin bowling." I'm like, "Yeah, you do, because you want to kick my ass. You're the greatest bowler in the world. Of course you want to take me out."
He's going to hustle you.
I met him at the Perry Hall Brunswick Lanes with my son. I know how my son was like 17, 18, had a day off from school. Mm-hmm. We snuck in there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Danny's there waving to the 12 people that are there at 1 o'clock on a Friday, autographing stuff. Yep. Comes down to the lanes. He's got his oils. He's got his towels. I'm missing a finger. I'm like, "Just give me a house ball. You're not going to bowl with a house ball. Here, let me outfit you." He's got the DW. He's got his fire shirt on, you know, crotch chop and all that. We went out. I picked up the ball that fit my finger. And I said, I'm going to bowl with, you're not going to bowl with that. You can't bowl with that. He's trying to help me. I'm like, look, dude, this is for fun. You know, we're just going to do this for fun. So he starts reading the lanes and the oils and all of this nonsense. And I grabbed the ball and I threw five strikes.
Wow.
I got ahead of him. I got ahead of him.
10 pin or duck pin?
10 pin.
Really?
10 pin. I threw five strikes in a row. And I'm kicking his ass. I'm up by like 80 pins. And he sixth frame, he starts getting a pencil out, and he starts doing the math. And he just can't believe it. And now I'm like, I don't know whether to start ish-talking him or not, or like back off a little bit. I beat him by like 28 pins.
Wow.
I rolled like a 210 or something. Wow. He rolled a 180, whatever. Wow. And the whole time I'm beating him, I don't... Like, I didn't even know what to say. And then we ended, and he's like, we're going to bowl two more games, right?
I'm
like,
I'm done.
No,
we're not. I'm done.
I'm leaving. I'm dropping the ball.
Paid a man.
I'm done.
And he printed it out, and he wasn't Jake. He was really trying to beat me at the end. He really took umbrage of this.
I bet he was.
So, of course, he rolled a 231 and a 247 the next couple, you know, and I rolled a 121, or, you know, I couldn't find the side of a barn. But he autographed it, and he loves it the most when I tell the story. Because there's zero embellishment. I wish there was embellishment, because it was the damnedest thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, it's crazy. When we had him over here, and I thought everybody knew him, but the kids we have over there in the youth league, because he's been gone for a little while.
Yeah.
And they didn't know him.
Injured.
So what we did, with our big video board, I went to YouTube and put the YouTube clips up there, and he was in his glory with, you know, that big 1,000-square-foot screen, to seeing him in the bowling alley and his big wins on there. And the kids loved it, and he stood there for 2 hours signing
autographs. You're talking about a guy giving back. Every year he did things for young bowlers and charity and scholarship. His scholarship fund, he's done hundreds of thousands of dollars.
There needs to be more people like him in this world. He's a great guy, supports the kids. He's phenomenal. So he did a great job coming over.
All right, David and Chris are here. I got a Richardson. I got J.R. Richardson over. All the Richardsons are here. It's like the whole family here.
That's impressive.
As well. We're up at Greenmount Station. I have the last few bites. Chris was torturing me this morning. I text him, and he knows I'm getting it fried. He knows I was coming up. And I said, you know, how's crab? I really jones in a crab cake from Greenmount Station. You said, that jumbo lump meat looks, what'd you say? You
said the meat's looking beautiful.
Well, you tell me. Yeah, we're up here in Carroll County. So hopes for this and what this will be when it matures beyond being open 4 hours now. What's this going to look like on a Raven game day? What would this look like in regard to maybe one day the Orioles? People would actually start betting on baseball. Lord knows they're trying to make us bet on baseball.
Well, I wish we knew that, because I have no idea what to expect. I think some days we're thinking it's going to be, we don't have enough parking, we don't have enough space in here for the amount of traffic it's going to drive here. And then there's other days where it's like, well, what's going to happen once mobile gets here? Is it going to, you know, is the retail park going to kind of go away and not be anything more than basically Keno, or what's it going to be? We don't know. I mean, not sure.
The OTB part of this and having the setup for this over years and then having the plague and all of that, how has that been? Because I would think racing begins quite early in the morning, right? I mean, you have tracks from all over the place here that you can wager on, right?
Yeah, usually it's about 12 o'clock before any post time. Unless it's a,
but it goes later into the evening of West Coast tracks and stuff, right?
Yeah, West Coast, and then even like Charlestown is is that 6 or 7 o'clock that starts?
I always thought, like, with horse racing, you kind of got to be into it or want to do it or read the form to really be in here to make money, not to wear a hat and look pretty like I do, you know, Preakness Day or whatever. And you're in the horse racing industry, right? But I think the sports part of this now, it hasn't occurred to me, because I've watched so many sporting events. Every time I'm in here, there's a hockey game, a baseball game, whenever I've done shows in here 100 times, there's always been a game on in any season. And now you're going to have the ability to serve a crab cake right here, have a cocktail right here. I think it's going to be mind-blowing. I really do.
That's what we're hoping.
We hope so. We definitely hope so.
Well, I'll just be here to bowl. How about that?
Hey, right? We'll take you over there to bowl, too. We'd love to have you over there.
Last thing for you, on the horse racing side.
Sure.
Concerns. I had, you know, my friends over Costas. He's got, a major horse racing guy. Yeah. And I won't forget this for a long time, because it was a weird thing. Baffert and I are close, right? But Bob will always come on when I text Bob. I've known Bob 25 years. We actually went to a Super Bowl together, sat and watched Super Bowl 36 together in San Diego. And So I hit Bob. He comes on. He won the Derby a year and a half ago, and he had the winner, and he always zooms in, and he's always got the roses next to him. Like, he's always out in Santa Anita, out in California, sure, setting up. He always says to me, let me do it before I get to Baltimore. I'll do it with you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let me get back from Louisville and get settled, and that way you'll have it to run the whole week, and I won't be distracted. We'll just do it early. So we did it on Friday afternoon last year, five, 6 days after the race. He's the champion. He's beautiful. It's great. He's coming to Baltimore. We're all shipping in. Good luck. Try to win again. Maybe it's a triple crown again. And then Sunday morning, I went to Costas to get a crab cake and, like, hang out. And I'm there, and he said, Baffert has just been suspended. His horse is dirty. This is 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And I'm like, I just talked to him, like, yesterday. I just put the piece up online. It's running on the radio. What do you mean? To have the king sort of taken down in that way, right? I mean, you represent horsemen, and when I've had Randy Moss on, when I've had Dick Girardi and our blood brothers, known Dick 40 years, when I have really inside people in the industry, they're like, the industry's got a doping, has a problem, and it needs to be policed. And for Baffert to be dragged into this, I'm concerned. It concerns me. As someone that knows how important it is, knows so many people connected to it, including you now, and my dear friend Ross Petticord as well, but many, many people over these years, you know, it's that's not good.
Sure. I mean, a lot of it is perception, you know, just like you said, doping. You know, a lot of people think, you know, a lot of the therapeutic medications that you give horses, Lasix.
Well, I remember the big L in the parentheses. And when Clem Floria, that's a horse on Lasix. It helps their lungs.
And it really
helps
does. You know, and it's therapeutic medication.
I love Clem.
And, well, just like what you said, you know, you have to have a lot of knowledge in order to really be good at horse betting and in the horse racing industry. I think Chris is... you know, Chris has had this OTB, and I think the industry still baffles him a good bit.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of the outsiders, they hear just that
nobody's
word.
Nobody's coming in here stealing money betting horses. There's nobody sharp enough that they're cashing tickets all day. There's no such thing, right? There literally is.
So.
I mean, it's a tough industry to understand, you know, and it's tough to trivialize it and really narrow it down to, you know, that the horse industry is full of dopers, because it's not. You know, I mean, the horse, especially in Maryland, as you say, look around, you see these silks on the
people
wall.
People love their horses, man.
They really, really do. I mean, no one takes care of their horses better than horsemen. They really do, especially Maryland horsemen. You know, there's a huge tradition in Maryland. You know,
selling that forever. I mean, I was selling that trying to get slots 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
To save the industry here.
I mean, what our industry, I mean, our biggest challenge in the racing industry right now are these dilapidated facilities that we have.
No doubt about it.
You know, Pimlico and the shape that Pimlico's in. We've been working, and that's one thing I've been personally working on, you know, with a group of people to, you know, just try to figure out that situation. You know, we thought we were close. We got hit with the pandemic, so we were hit with some challenges right now to try to get that project back on track.
Well, I have Bill Cole on all the time.
Yeah, Bill's a great guy.
Yeah,
Bill, great guy. He's down
in
the trenches.
I've seen that glass, you know, thing that's going to be a park that's going to be multi-use.
We've been working on that for quite a while. The pandemic, you know, just with the cost of building materials, everything went through the roof with that. So we have some challenges we have to get through with that. So we're working our way through that.
Well, the whole Magna thing's been a bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, also being owned by a Canadian company, which they've been partners with us. They've been really good partners. I mean, as you walk into ROTB, right on the left, that's Maryland Jockey
They're
Club right there.
They're a better company with being here with you.
They really are. Because, and that's our goal, and I've said that to a lot of other people. I'm a horseman through and through. I mean, my goal, like I said, just with that bowling alley, I wanted to keep that bowling alley in the community.
Not running horses there.
Well, no running horses there, but I want to, you know, I really want to enrich Maryland thoroughbred racing. And we really think by introducing sports betting, you know how many more people we're going to have come through that door? And we're hoping they come over here to bet on the Ravens. Maybe they'll come put a couple bucks on the fourth at Laurel today, too.
They should get fried crab cake,
exactly,
too, even though he'll talk you out of it.
So, I mean, that's really our goal, to try to introduce people to horse, because it's a majestic sport. It's full of tradition.
I don't want to have a Baltimore without a Preakness on the third.
Absolutely not. And this
Saturday.
This is part of how we're going to, you know, try to revitalize. I think getting the sport, the more people you introduce the sport to, the more people that understand the intricacies of the sport, you fall in love with it. You really do. I think Chris has, you know, grown an affection to horse racing just by, you know, I don't think he had any.
My wife falls in love every year we go out and see the horses. You know,
it's amazing, and it's a huge part of the Maryland's economy too that people don't understand. Just our local economy here, the farms, you know, that. that you know that that generates so much economic activity to this local economy. People don't really understand that. So it's a super important industry. And, you know, we hope this sports book really enhances that. Like I said, hopefully some people can be introduced to horse racing and, you know, we can grow this and get these, you know, get a new Pimlico, get a new Laurel, and, you know, be around for another 50, 60 years. So that's
the same thing here, Chris. You're still doing family nights, still doing balloon, any of that stuff happening here?
Yeah, the magician, Dave Thoman, he's here on Wednesday nights from 6 to 8. And Mondays we still have Dustin, our balloon guy, from 5 to 7. That's making the balloons for the kids. And
he always made me a Raven purple hat, you know, on Mondays when I was here. Yeah.
Or a helmet sometimes, right?
A little bit of everything, I think he made me a Capital hockey thing one year because we were up here doing a thing. We had the Barry Trotz up here. Absolutely. Did a little red, white, and blue. All right, Chris and Dave are out here. Come see them. They have bet themselves a little bit here. Bet Parks Sportsbook in conjunction with the Maryland Jockey Club and the OTB up here, adjacent to what's still a hell of a sports bar right next door, about 10 feet through that wall here at Greenmount Station. And Chris has been such a great partner to us at WNST all these years. And you know what I'm going to do just to think about it? I'm going to put in Greenmount Station and how many different football players in the eras, how many different haircuts I had. My wife was like a blonde, then bald, then a little curly, then back, then brown. So we've been through all of the everything here, including the, hey, one day we're going to like handle sports bets here, and today's the day.
Today's the day.
Thanks for all the years, man.
You got it.
You're getting gray, worried about you. Things are going to be fine here.
We got it. We made it here. So come on out and see us. We'd love to have you. Have you join us?
Our friends at the Maryland Lottery gave me some Raven scratch-offs to give away. I had a $50 winner here a little while ago. I put that picture up. I had a $100 winner over Costas last year.
Nice.
So I like when we get big winners, so it's been a big winner day. Come on up here to Carroll County. Celebrate. Wait a week or two or three, because by then they'll have all the Christmas lights out. And that's the part that I like, going through the Christmas lights. I'm going to come back up, do a little duck pin bowling. I got to grab Wiseman before he like departs and stops being a Marylander. So usually when I talk trash about him on the air, he gets winners. End of it, and he'll send me, I hear you're talking about me again.
But Chris,
that thing
and
was 20 years ago. I want a rematch.
Chris and I can't cover that bet, though, you know, between you guys.
I'm like Rocky. Ain't going to be no rematch.
We're not covering that bet over here. So
Wiseman, I took you out fair and square. I feel like it's a wrestling thing. It's great. Come on up here to Greenmount Station, and big appreciation to our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION. I got new windows back in August. One of the great things I've done. Just especially as it's getting colder, like everything just feels better inside the place. Screens are working well. Even the squirrels like jumping up on the screens. That's another story altogether. Also, our friends as well at Goodwill. It's Halloween week. Get out, shop. If you need a budget idea for that, our friends at Goodwill are there. And, of course, the Maryland Lottery. Next week, the Crab Cake Tour moves back to my homeland at Dundalk. We're going to be your homeland. How many times you go in Drug City in your life?
Oh,
Gray Manor?
My goodness. As a kid, constantly. That's where we did.
What was your favorite thing in there? Did you get dipping, licking dots in there? Did you get gum? Did you get the sugar
what was
baby
that big
sugar
league? I always got the big league, chew. Got the big league chew, you know, at Drug City all the time.
See, you're not from around. When I say Drug City to you, you're thinking like, that sounds like what the ladies down the street thought you were going to have here, right?
My
Drug City indicates like Drug City. Yeah. Drug City was the...
It was...
Mom and pop, five and dime, liquor store, video rental.
Had everything.
Everything a dime store would have. Everything. I don't.
My biggest
and
memory.
Awful parking. Terrible. Yeah, you just parking there.
My biggest memory of Drug City, okay? I was maybe five years old. It was dead of winter, 10 degrees out. I fell into the fountain at East Point Mall, soaking wet. My mother had to pull me out of
this. This was after the Penguins left, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know about that?
No, I don't know about that. But you have to tell me that story.
It's true. There were Penguins at East Point Mall when I was a little boy.
Yeah.
I have very vague memories of it. One day I mentioned it on the air. People started sending me pictures.
Wow.
They really were Penguins at East Point Shopping Center in 1972. That's true.
Like live Penguins.
Wow.
Real,
wow.
Honest to God Penguins.
Well, I was 5 years old. I fell in the fountain, soaking, wringing wet, you know, and my mother had to go shopping at Drug City, so she took me into the 10 degree weather inside of Drug City. I'm never afraid. Coldest I've ever been in my life. So that was my punishment.
Get him a hot chocolate.
That was my punishment, going into Drug City, dripping wet from the fountain at East Point Mall.
I'll say this again next week. You know, Drug City was a place that when the grown-up videos came, you know, with the little curtain. You remember that? Yeah. Not that any of us went past the curtain. I don't even know what was back there. I mean, I was barely 18. But at Drug City, I do remember that little part of it. But more than that, it was the place when videotapes happened, like in 84, 85, 86, 87. When, like, Purple Rain came out on on videotape, they would have 38 copies of it, and they would all be checked out. This is before Blockbuster, right? This was just when it was a neighborhood thing. Yep. And you would just stand there stalking. Did you bring Purple Rain back? Did you bring Purple Rain back? Nah, it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. I've already seen that one. And you would finally get it, and it was $1 a day, $2 on new movies.
Be kind and rewind.
I would never rewind a damn thing, so it was always 50 cents, right?
Be kind and rewind.
And then you would keep it. You rent it on Friday, and then you'd wind up doing something on Saturday, and then it'd be a game on Sunday, and next thing you know, on like Wednesday, you'd remember, you'd be like, oh, dude, man, it's $14 to rent the tape, you know?
So you had to wait till it came to Two Guys. Wait till it came to Two Guys, and you'd buy the copy of Two Guys.
Two Guys was gone by then.
I don't know about that.
Tops?
Know.
Remember Tops? No?
I remember Tops. I remember Two Guys.
I already name-dropped Ross's for you.
Yeah.
I played all of my Pac-Man and shot all my pool at the billiard hall where the carpet fair was by the Kimmel Tower.
No, I was too, I was too young for that, so.
All right.
So.
Dundalk, Greenmount Station, we're up here in Carroll County, mixing and matching our counties, but certainly not mixing and matching sports and wagering together here. There's no TB, it's Bet Parks. Sportsbook, it's a Greenmount Station, you know the way up here. Fried crab cake is the way to sign off. I saved my last bite. You sure you don't want a bite of fried?
It's great crab cake, but
I got plenty.
Get it broiled.
I meant to ask you this before I depart. What's your favorite thing on your menu that's not a crab cake? That if I were going to take something to go tonight, that at 7:30, 8 o'clock tonight, I'm eating it that I've never eaten here before, which is a lot of things, because you have a lot of things on your menu. What's the popular items?
I don't know. Now with, I'm trying to eat healthier, but I like the blackened salmon BLT. It's on a pretzel roll.
I don't want to be healthy. I want to be bad.
Well, I mean, look, the pretzel roll's not healthy, and you do have bacon on there, so it's not
so,
100%.
I'll get one. All right, good enough. All right.
But the other, I mean, probably before that, maybe I like the steak quesadilla. I don't know. Burger's always good, but whatever you're in the mood for.
I would not get a quesadilla here, but I'm not driving up here from Taos and not getting a fried crab cake.
Yeah, well,
because I know better.
Crab melt. You ever try the crab melt? It's like crab cake, but it's on English muffin toasted.
It's one of my favorite things in the whole world is crab melt.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did crab melts here.
Yeah.
If I would have known that, I would have gotten the crab melt with it.
Well, next time there
I would
you
have
go.
Gotten that broiled crab cake, that Gucci thing.
Oh, God. You're crazy.
We'll end the show with that. Chris is here. He's been our friend for a long, long time. Come on up to Greenmount Station. Support the folks up here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some scratch-offs to give away at the Fountain at Drug City. And we'll see if we can get your pants dry clean from 1978 dry-off. Back for more on WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Bowling, OTB, sports wagering, and crab cakes. We did it all on the crab cake tour today.